Well, it's a delightful day for everyone. I can't say afternoon, so good morning from those of you far and wide, those that may be on the webcast. This is a special day, and I'm glad to be with you on this Women's Enrichment Weekend. They asked me if I was speaking today, and I said, only if you call on me. I hate to crash the party. If I get the technology right, here we go. The title of the message today is Good Thoughts Bear Good Fruit. The title actually comes from a teacup that I recently discovered at a Goodwill thrift store. And this handy little cup, and I thought, wow, that's really neat. I can spend 99 cents on that. And, you know, some weeks ago, and it gave me this great idea about good thoughts bear good fruit. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah 29:11 as a foundation to begin. Because, as you know, thoughts precede thoughts precede actions, and then brings results. In Jeremiah 29:11, we have how God thinks about us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Aren't those the best kind of thoughts that we love, we have, or we want a future, we want hope, we want to feel good about whatever it is, thoughts that we're dwelling on. So I want to give an example and tell a little story. And this was some years ago, and I had a new son-in-law who was heading internationally for the feast, and he was asked to give a sermonette at the feast, he says, but I've never done one before, but it's in the part of the world where they don't have many speakers. And I said, speak about something you know. So today I'm going to tell you about something I know, and that is how I grew up. I'm the second child. My parents had four boys in 5 years. You can do the math. And we were all teenagers at the same time. Now, we grew up on a farm, and my parents, as you might imagine, managed to get a lot of work out of four boys, and we started early. We didn't know that there wasn't we thought everybody did that four-letter word work. We started out, as soon as you were old enough to hold a bucket, you could feed a baby calf. And then as we grew, we learned to wrestle a hay bale and help feed the livestock and do other chores. We started driving tractors when our feet could reach the pedals. And so that was, if you could reach the clutch and the brake, you're good to go. Before that, you just practiced steering on Dad's lap. We learned to shift gears and pull wagons. And as we reached into our teen years, we had farm construction projects. We dug fence post holes, and we learned a little something. My dad said, you can go home and do chores and milk cows, and I will dig these 40 post holes myself. Or you guys, boys, can stay and dig the post holes, and I'll go home and milk the cows. We thought, man, we don't want to dig 40 post holes. That's going to take a lot of work. So we went home to milk cows, and about a half an hour later, he shows up sitting on the bale enjoying watching us milk cows. So how'd you do that? And he goes, but you didn't know it was pasture. It was easy, soft ground, and it only took about a minute a hole. So he was able to get that done in a hurry. I mean, we built corrals with plank fences, poured concrete, slabs, re-roofed buildings. And, of course, when you have a dairy farm, it's a very active life. We were busy all day, every day. And just for fun, I measured the amount of milk that us boys drank in any one day. And it was hot. We were pouring concrete slabs and for a feedlot that we were building. And I measured the milk that we each drank a gallon of milk per day. Now, we're farm kids. We produced it at wholesale, so it's not like we had to go to the store and buy it. And I didn't know that that really wasn't that normal. I just thought that was just the way things are, until city kids thought that was a shock. They also thought it was a shock to eat steak. What do you mean, shock? We have that almost every day. I didn't, you know, a lot of things we didn't know how poor we were. But the bale, but everything we did was with a vision to the future. A baby calf had to be well cared for. It could never grow up to be a milk cow. The hay had to be cut and raked and baled, and then it had to be hauled and stored and put away. In fact, we did 10,000 small square bales a year. That's a lot of, and each bale roughly 50 pounds, and so that was a lot of work, but it was just normal. That's just the way we grew up. That's the way we thought. And every bale had to be handled at least four times, once to load it in the rack, another to get it home. You unload it to the hay mow, pack it up in the hay mow, and then you got to throw it down to feed to the cattle again. So every bale meant a lot of sweat and energy. And as the old saying goes, you make hay when the sun shines. You say, look to the future. What is my vision? What's going to be the results? How are we going to progress down the road on this one? Well, if you don't make hay when the sun shines, you can't when it's cloudy and heavy moisture out or raining. So you take advantage of that opportunity. Every spring, we prepared hundreds of acres for corn and oats and wheat, and we would harvest then later in the summer and fall, because we'd have to produce the grain to feed to get the milk and the beef. And everything seemed to revolve around weather, sort of like our trip here yesterday revolved around weather. And on the rainy days, you worked on the inside. On the sunny days, you did the outside work. There was always plenty to do. Machinery maintenance, calibration in order to prepare the soil, plant the seed, cultivate acres of row crops, harvest the crops. I learned never run out of gas on the far end of the field. Learned that as a kid. Always check those things out ahead of time, especially when you walk home, get gas, and then forget again when you're making the next round, you run out twice. That's still remembering that one. I think I was, 10 or 12. One thing I've realized, every farmer was an optimist. And if they weren't an optimist, they wouldn't be a farmer for very long. They planted the crop in the spring with the expectation that you would have a harvest in the fall. Now, my dad, as I've came to realize, was a huge optimist. Every day he expressed his hopes for a good outcome. And we didn't know it, but he was training us every day to look on the bright side, be optimists, and to plan ahead and be prepared to adjust when conditions change. Now, part of our training was treating animals with kindness. Dairy farmers have to be gentle with their cows if they want to get the most milk out of them, because a farmer can't beat milk out of a cow. It doesn't work that way. As Dad would tell us, a contented cow gives more milk. Well, so we treated them gently rather than harshly. And in many ways, farm life was a peaceful life. And so it brought me to this verse about thoughts of peace, how comforting it was to be there. And we were continually looking to the future. Everything we did was with the hope and expectation there would be a beneficial result. And having hope is really a delight. It's a motivation. It's one of the most important ingredients of hope, then, would be positive thinking, which is thinking good thoughts. Now, I want you to contrast that and imagine the farmer wakes up and says, that cow won't eat the feed. That'll never eat the feed. She's not going to give milk. Or that calf is probably going to die, it's sick. Or that tractor is never going to work again. That planter is probably going to break down if I pull it out of the shed. That seed, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to grow. Or the weather is going to be, and then you fill in the blank. It's going to be too wet. Or it's going to be too dry. It's going to be too something. Oh no, the weeds are going to grow too fast. We'll never get ahead of it. Choke out the crop. The pasture fence will break. The cows will get out. They'll trample the crops. Oh no, if I got hay coming, I won't have enough help to help bale and haul the hay. What a miserable life to constantly think those negative thoughts. But a farmer is happier and peaceful, has peace in his life, if he models his thoughts after that, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's the abundant thoughts of peace with an enjoyable future filled with hope. Now, what would a complaining farmer say if you got a really good year, a really productive year, where things worked out really well, and the complaining farmer would say, there won't be enough time to harvest all that crop before bad weather sets in. Or, what am I going to do with all that? I don't have a place to store it. You know, that's a fine how-to-do that turns out to be. Or, sure, you get a big crop and the market price would be too low. It isn't even worth it. Or, you know, that good crop is really hard on the soil. It's going to really zap us out. We won't get as much next year. There's always something that they could find to complain about. And that negative attitude pretty much guarantees that that person isn't going to be a farmer for very long. Of necessity, a farmer must have that positive attitude, think the positive thoughts, and then feast on that hope for the future. Now, many years ago, my dad and neighbors thought I was crazy because I was a young farmer. I had rented two different farms, had a bunch of acres. And right when it was harvest time in the fall, I went off, left to go out of state to some feast. Now, they knew that there was something was wrong with this kid who is brand new, just rented a couple of farms, and it was ideal circumstance for harvesting. Now, it had been a kind of a dry year, but hey, it was ideal harvesting right now, and I left town for 10 days. And on the last day of the feast, that last night, wind came in, strong wind, and then snow and sleet covered the ground, and I had to drive 10 hours to get home through the heavy weather. And I get back, and I discover that the strong wind had taken the largest ears of corn and broken them off of the stalk, and they laid on the ground, and only the small ones were left. Meanwhile, all the neighbors were all done harvesting. They got theirs done before the wind came in and knocked down the best of the corn. Well, I got to do what I got to do. I'm going to harvest anyways. Had an old combine, didn't have a cab on it. Wind is terrible, it's cold. The ground is covered with snow, covered up all the good corn, and I'm harvesting what little is left. And to complicate matters, it wasn't really a big harvest to begin with. It was kind of a drought year, so it wasn't going to be a high-yielding year. So with the trucks, I hauled. I didn't have storage, so I hauled the corn off the market and kept all the weigh slips so I knew how much I had and how much I was selling. And then I heard on the radio, and then I found out from others, the federal government declared a disaster area because there was a drought that year. And the disaster area meant that if your yield was less than the county average, your crop insurance would kick in for those who had crop insurance. Well, I realized I was an optimist, but I also wasn't stupid, so I had purchased the crop insurance at the beginning of the year. Well, what it turns out is, for every bushel that fell on the ground of corn is one less that I had to haul to market. And so as a result, I had lower trucking costs than everybody else. And my dad and my neighbors all expressed amazement that I was somehow financially better off to be gone for 10 days in the heart of harvest season. And to quote my dad, and I'll write the quote as best as I can remember, "Never before have I found or seen someone fall into a manure pit and come smelling like a rose." In other words, well, but my dad was the one that continually raised us every day to be positive, to expect the best and work hard to make that future come true. You see, it's that thought process that helps us to build for the future. If we take a look at Matthew 7:17, every good tree bears good fruit. Those are nice words. So if we have good thoughts, consider that is from that's part of being on that good tree to bear good fruit. It will be helpful down the road. And as we know, and if we read on in Matthew 12:36, we read, "A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things." What is a treasure of your heart? It's what you're thinking. Are you thinking positive thoughts? And it's going to bring forth good things. And the, I'm breaking the rule here if I could do more than three scriptures, but it's really hard to get somebody who's used to a sermon to bring it down to three scriptures and behave myself. But I did want to emphasize it's that in order to produce something good, you've got to put good stuff in it. So fill our minds with good thoughts is what Dad said. If you're going to be a farmer, put the good thoughts in. And this is similar to the in Matthew 25, and I'm not going to turn there. It's about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, that five of them took extra oil and five did not. Words, I'm thinking of, you know, five farmers that were preparing for the future and five that were complainers and never prepared as well as they should. So if they would have filled their minds with positive thoughts, as that example would be, of course, in that example of the parable of wise and foolish virgins, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit that God grants to his believers that are and continuing and committed to following God's laws. Well, we can do this by thinking them positive thoughts, predicting and projecting positive outcomes, and we can lift others up, encouraging them to fill their lives with the good thoughts as well. So what kind of good fruit are we looking at? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it tells us what kind of good fruit. When you're thinking good thoughts, you can get good fruit. And what is it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, that's all good stuff. Wow, can you imagine how delightful the world would be if people practiced the good thoughts followed by the good actions, and then the result would be right here in front of us. Love, joy, peace. Just take any one of those and put them over the earth, and things would be very remarkably different than today. So I would encourage everyone to focus every day on filling their lives with good thoughts, avoiding the downside, and let us all be secure in the knowledge that good thoughts bear good fruit. Mr. Wong.